Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Okay, so I know that a little while ago, maybe yesterday, maybe earlier this week, it's been a long week for me already, NPR did a story about a newfangled AI home assistant, one that rhymes with Balexa. And they got a lot of pushback from listeners because the radio story triggered the Balexas in people's homes every time they mentioned the name. So consider this your fair warning. I'm going to give you a second to turn off your deactivate or whatever, your little devices that have been created by a giant jungle named corporation, because I'm about to say its name a lot. Okay? Ready. So here we go. Alexa! Hey, Alexa! Boston wants to become home to Amazon's second corporate headquarters. Does it have a chance?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question I heard.
Yeah, right, Alexa. Come on, the city would be great. I mean, surely, you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
All right, Alexa, I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Yeah, well, actually, we can. And we're having a little fun here because, yes, as you know, Amazon announced this month that it's accepting bids for its second headquarters. It's outgrown Seattle, apparently. And according to the e-commerce giant, the new HQ could bring with it some 50,000 jobs. So Boston and a couple of other Massachusetts cities want to be in the running. And joining me to discuss is not Alexa, but Asma Khalid, head of WBUR's Bostonomics team. Hi there, Asma.
Hey, Meghna.
Also with us is Scott Kersner, innovation columnist at the Boston Globe. Hello, Scott.
Hey, awesome to be here.
I'm glad to have two actual humans here. So, Asma, let's start with you. I mean, Mayor Walsh is keeping the details of Boston's bid under wraps, but what do we know so far?
Yeah, and Meghna, he's saying he's doing this because of competition, right? But obviously, there are some folks who raise questions about transparency and sort of memories of the Olympic bid and whatnot. But I will say that, you know, a lot of people, when you talk to them, are proposing Suffolk Downs as perhaps the most likely option for Boston. Now, this would be an area that would be shared by Revere as well. It is an area of which, point blank, I asked Mayor Walsh on the record if he would confirm it's the leading contender. He wouldn't, but it is a site that's being considered as a very likely possibility.
Okay. So, Scott, you've been writing about this. Spoiler alert, everyone, you don't think Boston's going to get it.
Well, you know, that was my initial reaction the day that they announced this, just because, you know, Seattle has had this explosion of jobs created by Amazon. They have Microsoft right across the bay there in Redmond, Washington. And, you know, it's you know, on the San Francisco trajectory of cost of living and traffic jams. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought, well, maybe Amazon is going to want to diversify and go to a city like a Atlanta or an Austin or a Charlotte, you know, maybe a warm weather southeastern city where people in their 20s just graduating from college can afford to buy a house on a $100,000 salary.
So good weather and affordability, you think?
I just thought about diversifying.
You know, leave the U.S. altogether.
Yeah, well, Toronto to me is the most interesting city because they have a couple strong universities churning out computer science grads, and it would sort of be a big you know, a big message, send a big message. I was going to use a finger reference, but it would send a big message to Donald Trump, right, that we want to be in a city that's still in North America, but yeah, where you can hire the smartest people from around the world and not worry, are they going to get a visa to come work for you?
Oh, okay. So that's a good point. But so I was wondering, okay, coming back here to Boston, to yes, be parochial about the whole thing. I mean, I feel like there are the very strengths that Boston has might also be the same weaknesses that Boston has as a potential site.
What are you talking about?
Well, like, okay, we've got tons of smart people, but yeah, but we've got a really low, you wrote about this, Scott, that the unemployment rate's really low now, so Amazon would have to be poaching to fill those 50,000 jobs.
Maybe, right? But like, I will say that every time you talk to tech leaders here, you're presented with sort of this two problem situation. One is you'll ask them, you know, why they came here or what's so attractive about being in Boston, and they will say, the tech talent. And then the second problem they will say, you'll ask, you know, well, what's sort of the dynamic of hiring people? And then they'll insist that it's the tech talent. They can't find enough of it. And so I was speaking with one person earlier today in the tech community who said, in some ways, a lot of people are really excited about even just the prospect of Amazon having a headquarters here because they think it would create a lot of buzz. It sort of gives Boston this affirmation. You often hear from people about the number of computer science degrees, you know, people who have MBAs who graduate from universities here and then hop up on a plane and leave the area the next week after. And so there is this sense that maybe having Amazon headquartered here or even its second headquarters here would be this stamp of approval, giving Boston sort of, I don't know, just creating maybe more of a reputation image that people would want to stay in the area.
Come on, Scott. What do you think?
Well, I've talked to people who subscribe to that kind of rising tide theory, right? That Amazon will give Boston a seal of approval.
That is the way people say these days, yep.
To come here, yeah. Rising tide lifts all boats. And here's something interesting, just kind of going back into history. I thought Jeff Bezos, Amazon CEO and founder, hasn't had a high profile in Boston. You know, he doesn't come here to speak at conferences. Mm. He hasn't given a commencement address like a lot of the other tech CEOs, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook. But when you go back and you look, Bezos knows a lot about the academic environment of Boston. He's bought a handful of companies, five or six companies, including the robotics company Kiva Systems that now supplies robotics technology for all their warehouses. He also, I got someone to send me a list. Bezos hosts this really exclusive conference in Palm Springs once a year called Mars, and it's all about machine intelligence and robotics and space. Only invites 100 people. 20 of those 100 people are from Boston.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
So this is someone who understands like how much forward-looking intellect in academia and in the business world are in Boston.
Okay, so but what about the politics around this, right? Because even with the whole GE relocation, it wasn't as if every last Bostonian welcomed the company with open arms, right? I mean, people are still grumbling about the incentives that the city and the state handed over. I imagine that for a new HQ, the size of which Amazon is talking about, the incentives would have to be enormous, which A, is Boston going to even like offer the most? And B, does a company want to come in when they're pretty much guaranteed that a lot of people are going to be complaining about it?
Yeah, I mean, those are two really good questions. I think that politically speaking, it's also why we're seeing the mayor be somewhat closed, you know, and somewhat secretive at this point with what the bid will actually entail. Yesterday, I spoke with him and he mentioned something in passing about, you know, in the initial bid, we're just not really focused on tax incentives. We're just not thinking tax incentives. And I stopped him and I said, no tax incentives? And he said, yeah, no tax incentives. And literally within 10 seconds, he said, nah, but that'll probably change. You know, that could change. And it's the idea, though, that politically, it's not a very wise move to start talking about the incentives, because as you mentioned, people are still grumbling over what GE got. That being said, when you do push sort of non-political leaders, maybe people in the business community, you will hear from them that, yes, financially speaking, if Amazon is going to employ 50,000 people here, that means that the tax base in the state increases and the state or the city is likely going to have to offer a larger tax incentive.
But the argument that you're making to the taxpayers is we're going to shell out, you know, not shell out this money, but sort of, you know, give this break to a big company. And trust us, the T is going to get better. Mm-hmm. The roads are going to get better.
Yeah, the schools are going to get better.
Right, housing will be more affordable somehow.
Yeah. And so the number with GE was $145 million between the city and the state tax breaks. You know, is $500 million, is $1 billion going to fly in Massachusetts? Wisconsin offered $3 billion for this Foxconn factory. I just don't see that kind of, I don't see a number with a B really working in Massachusetts.
You could make the argument, though, that Boston, unlike some of these other cities, does have some of the inherent qualities that Amazon is looking for when it comes to, say, talent in particular, and that perhaps it could get away with a somewhat smaller tax incentive.
I actually think the bigger incentive you could justify if Amazon would take a site in a place like Lawrence or
Haverhill.
Well,
I was just going to ask about
that. Up on 495, yeah. Because they would get the brownie points for saying, we're going to come into a mill city, you know, a formerly great industrial city, and we're going to revive it, much the way Manchester, New Hampshire has been revived by tech companies and by Southern New Hampshire University there. And, you know, you say you're not in Boston, but you're really accessible to people who live in the northern suburbs and in Andover and southern New Hampshire. There's a lot of techies in southern New Hampshire. And Amazon already, I mentioned this robotics company they acquired, they're in North Reading. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could imagine a location midway between the airport in Manchester, the airport in Boston, Hanscom Airport for private, you know, your private jet needs.
I mean, and you know, in a place where it's affordable or more affordable, obviously. I mean, have you spoken to folks up in Lawrence?
I spoke with the mayor of Lawrence last week when sort of we first heard the talk of this joint bid between Lawrence, Haverhill, and North Andover. And, you know, he talked, yes, about sort of the affordability. He mentioned that they just have a large workforce. And on this point, I would say I somewhat disagree with the mayor. I think he was specifically talking about the fact that Lawrence has had a relatively high unemployment. But the issue there is that I think where the sort of workforce of Lawrence is, it doesn't exactly match the needs that Amazon is looking for.
But they could draw that workforce in, though, right?
True, but what does that mean for the current, you know, population of Lawrence that is a largely immigrant workforce at this point that isn't as highly educated?
So last question for both of you, because, I mean, I don't know how I feel about this, because I'm always dubious about the incentives that states and cities give and whether or not we actually get what's promised in return in terms of development. But on the other hand, unlike GE, Amazon is very much a 21st century company. I mean, it's changing how we live. I mean, there's a certain amount of cachet for being the place where that development is happening, isn't it? Just, shouldn't we fight for that?
You know, the smartest thing that's been said to me on that topic is from a guy named Russ Wilcox, who ran the startup that supplies the screen to all of the Amazon Kindles. So he's interacted with the company. He's met with Bezos. And he basically said, imagine if another city gets this other headquarters. Imagine if it's Pittsburgh. Imagine it's Chicago. And where does that leave Boston? Does that make us feel like, oh, we've fallen a few notches further behind in, you know, in the tech race?
Does it? Would it?
I heard that similar point from a tech leader as well, concerned that if Boston doesn't get it, would it essentially perhaps even limit some of the tech evolution that the city's seen to date? I don't know.
Wow. Well, we'll have to ask Alexa. She'll know. Asma Khalid, head of Bostonomics, WBUR's business and tech team, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And Scott Kersner, innovation columnist for the Boston Globe. It's great to see you again, Scott.
Same to you. Thanks, Meghna.
All right. Well, we'll have you back soon. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.